All right, welcome to today's interview with Leo Homan, who is an author, an analyst, an investigator. He's got a lot of books out there, and one of them, or actually more than one, are now being banned by Amazon.com. LeoHoman.com is the website. I really enjoy Mr. Homan's work, his columns. He's got critical stories that I think we got to get into him with him today. Welcome to the show, Mr. Homan. I'm a fan of your work. We've never been able to speak before, so I really look forward to this. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Mike. Appreciate it.
Happy to have you on. Your columns are very widely shared across alternative media. They are, I think, well written, well researched. Of course, sometimes controversial, but you know what isn't.
I prefer the word provocative.
Yeah, provocative. Okay, that sounds great. Some of them are provocative, but you know, let's go to this headline you have here right now: U.S.-NATO funded proxy war in Ukraine, fueling hatred and persecution of ancient Christian community. This is a great example of the kind of important story that you cover. Can you tell us about this story and what's going on with the Zelensky regime?
Yeah, well, it's exactly the type of story that you won't see printed, posted, or published in the Western media right now, Mike. Why? Because it gives a side of the Ukrainian government that they really don't want Americans to be privy to. We're told that the Zelensky regime is a freedom-loving, democratic government that is being, having this Soviet invasion and dictatorship foisted upon it, when the truth is that the Ukrainian government is no more democratic than the Russian government. And just one example of that is this article I posted this week on how Zelensky's government is treating the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. Now, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church is interesting because it's been kind of in a schism, as they call it, with half of it continuing to be in alliance with the Russian Orthodox Church, and the other half breaking off. But even the section that continues to be in community with the Russian Orthodox Church, it's not taking orders from the Russian Orthodox Church. In other words, it's not like the Pope of Rome, the Metropolitan in Moscow is not like the Pope of Rome, you know, giving orders to the bishops in France or the United States. The Ukrainian Orthodox Church is what they call autocephalous, meaning it is self-determined. It makes its own, rules and actions. But that's not good enough. The Ukrainian Metropolitan has even denounced the Russian invasion. That's not good enough. The Zelensky regime continues to put pressure on this church, threatening to close down now its most holy site, which is the monastery near Kiev, Lavra, which is also known as the Monastery of the Caves. It's a very historic, holy site for these Orthodox Christians, which, if you know anything about that sect, it is one of the oldest Christian communities in the world.
But wait a second, Mr. Homan, I'm sorry to interrupt, but is this church saying something that Zelensky doesn't want to be said, or is Zelensky philosophically opposed to Christians and Christianity, or what's going on here in your view?
This church has been going out of its way to say that we do not approve of the Russian invasion, but we will not cut off our community with the Russian Orthodox Church.
I see.
Because of our historic ties with the Russian Orthodox Church. They've been joined for many, many centuries, even though they are autonomous in their own, you know, like I said, making their own rules and bylaws and whatnot. But that's not good enough. The Zelensky regime wants them to break off completely from all community and all ties with their Russian brothers. And that's what they refuse to do. And so the Zelensky regime is now threatening to close down their most prominent monastery, most historic monastery, and they have arrested the Metropolitan Pavel, who's in charge. He's the abbot in charge of this monastery, and they put him under house arrest, put a, you know, ankle monitor on him, they say, for at least 60 days while he's being, quote, investigated. Now, what is he being investigated for? They're threatening that he could be a Russian agent or a Russian spy, which you know what countries do to spies.
Right.
So this is a very serious situation.
And it's also, it's very frustrating that we, the American taxpayers, we are funding all of this because, of course, it's American money that is funding the entire Ukrainian government. It's paying all the payroll and more,
yes,
and paying for all the weapons, paying for Zelensky and all his mansions and billions of dollars he's squirreling away somewhere, by the way. So this tyranny against Christians is funded by the United States taxpayer. That's,
yes,
that's,
and it's
unacceptable.
It's not only dividing Ukrainian, the Ukrainian religious community off from the Russian religious community, but it's also now dividing Ukrainians, because you've got the more secular Ukrainians who are being told that the nationalist position, right, is the U.S. position, which you and I know that's a false narrative. It's the globalist narrative and the globalist position that this war is being funded by NATO. But that's not the way it's played in Ukraine. If you're if you're not, you know, cheerleading the Ukrainian nationalist position and denouncing daily the Russians, you're somehow considered less of a Ukrainian by these secular Ukrainians, or the Ukrainians that broke off completely from the Russian Orthodox Church and that schism that I mentioned. And so what they're doing is a lot of it's a lot similar to what we saw the leftist modus operandi in many other countries, such as South Africa. Remember when the white nationalist farmers, the white Christian farmers, were demonized in the media, and then you know, the Marxists were kind of attacking them at will, and the government just stood by and watched these attacks. So even though the persecution doesn't come directly from the government kind of turns its head and gives a wink and a nod while these thugs are doing the persecution. It happened in South Africa, now it's happening in Ukraine. It's very divisive, and it's all being funded by the U.S. taxpayer dollar.
And then we have, of course, attacks on the church in America, but also in Canada. So, you know, in Canada, they're practically outlawing Christianity. And I hear there's a proposed new law in Canada, not on the books yet, where they're proposing a $25,000 fine for anyone who criticizes a transgender person. So if you just say,
I saw that.
Right. If you offend a transgender person,
right,
like, oh, you didn't call me ma'am, it's ma'am. $25,000.
Did you see that viral video, Mike, that came out this week in from Vancouver, Canada, where a guy was protesting the transgender movement? He was just quietly holding a sign and speaking to a reporter in a very calm tone. He was not doing anything provocative. He was not yelling. He wasn't, you know, threatening anything violent. And up come these transgendered transvestites, men with dressed as women and the makeup and the whole nine yards. And they start yelling obscenities at the guy while he's interviewing with this reporter, just calmly doing his interview, and they start saying, F you, you're a effing piece of, you know what? And it gradually gets louder and louder, and they get closer and closer to the point where they're this far away from his face yelling these obscenities at him. And then suddenly the main culprit, this guy with the long blonde hair and the makeup on, the female impersonator, he gets right up into the guy's face and then punches him.
Wow.
Takes him and then pulls him down to the ground. This guy, even though he was had the appearance of a woman, he was quite burly and strong. And he just took the guy right down to the ground, and several others then start beating him. The place is surrounded by Canadian police, Vancouver police.
And they did nothing.
They did nothing.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, so we are now seeing, in fact, I'd love your analysis of this with the Nashville shooting, of course, the transgender with a gun killed three students and three staff, I believe, of the Nashville Christian School. We are now seeing the rise of militant transgenderism And you just gave another example of the kind of transgender violence against a, you know, a peaceful person who simply disagrees. Are we about to cross a tipping point where we're going to have, I don't know, transgenders with AR-15s just blasting away and mass murdering Christians and burning down Christian churches, and the governments of the West will say, oh, that's fine? I mean,
well,
it seems like...
Yeah, I think the precedent has been set, right, with the Nashville shooting. And the reaction, Mike, to that shooting was very interesting. Number one, the first one to report that the shooter was transgender was NBC News. Now, NBC News is like the heart of the deep state media.
Yes.
They are like on the leading edge of getting the message out that the globalists want. Whatever propaganda the globalists want, they are usually the leaders in getting that message out. So they were the first ones to mention this fact. Oh, this woman, by the way, identifies as transgender, you know, and I thought that was interesting that it came from them and it came immediately. It's like they wanted that to get out. Okay. What I think is going on here is they're trying to provoke a response, a violent response, from somebody on the right. They would love nothing more than for a retaliation, somebody on our side of the political fence, you know, maybe some MAGA person or, you know, whatever, to go out and you know, to a gay bar or whatever and shoot up a bunch of transvestites, transsexuals, transgenders, whatever you want to call them, and then make a big, huge deal out of that. And that's why, you know, that these people need to be disarmed and everything, you know, on down the line.
Right.
So far, our people have been very measured in their response. They've been highly critical, but they have not done anything remotely violent. And I think that tremendously disappoints these globalists.
Well, you make a really important point there. And in fact, I think this provocation strategy is not only being used in the culture wars like you just described in the United States, but also to try to provoke Russia into an escalation of perhaps, you know, thermobaric warheads or even a nuclear attack or nuclear artillery of some kind. I want to ask you about that. But the West, you know, the leaders of the West right now in the Homeland Security, in the White House, in the culture wars, they are evil people, and they project this evil onto those around them and try to convince others to commit the evil that they themselves feel in their hearts every day. Like they hate people. They want to murder people, but they want to play victims. So this provocation strategy seems to have really permeated the philosophy of these leaders in the West who are trying to use violence in order to oppress their political enemies. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. Mike, I think the ultimate strategy is to drive the United States into civil war.
Wow.
I think they've probably been disappointed that it hasn't already happened. If you think of all the provocations, both in actions and in rhetoric over the last 2 years, it's just unbelievable. And this is just the latest one with Nashville and the way they responded to it. And so, you know, World War III and Civil War 2.0 at the same time would probably be, the biggest dream that they could have come true for America. And you ask, why is that? Well, America has more weapons than any other country by far, and they know that that's a fearful thing. Now, Joe Biden can say, and he can get out in front of the microphones and act like that's no big threat. Oh, you know, if you got, you know, he thinks guns are just for hunting and target practice, sporting recreation, as he says. But the fact of the matter is the founding fathers put the Second Amendment in the Constitution for reasons that had nothing to do with hunting.
Right.
And he, whenever we mention that, he, you know, mocks it. And he says that, well, hey, you're going to fight the government with your guns. You would need, nuclear weapons, nuclear missiles and F-16s in order to do that. But that's all a lie. And that's just for the cameras. The truth is they are afraid of Americans, armed Americans. And they need to find out a way to neutralize that. So what better way And they're also paving the way, in my opinion, the Biden regime is acting as an agent of the Chinese Communist Party. Now, if the Chinese Communist Party really wants to conquer America, like it has, you know, stated in the past with that 1999, I believe it was, leaked message where they wanted to clean up America. One of the Chinese colonels said he wanted to clean up America with a biological weapon, and then you know, basically just come in and do mop up because they need the land to feed their people. China has, you know, one of the biggest populations in the world, but one of the most non-fertile landscapes in the world, and so they need the land to feed their growing population. America fulfills that purpose. True. But they don't want to invade America as long as there's 350 million weapons, firearms, you know, ranging from your common pistol to your AR-15, your AK-47. You can even get a fully automatic weapon in this country if you go through a thorough background check and pay a $200 tax stamp. So what better way for the Biden regime, acting as an agent of the Chinese Communist Party, to disarm America than to stoke a civil war and somehow get us to use up our guns and ammo on each other,
right,
before the Chinese invasion ultimately comes?
Well, this brings up then the obvious tactic. If they can't provoke a civil war organically, so to speak, then they can plant a sabotage agent. They can carry out a false flag. Like and of course, you know, they've done this before in many cases, but they can, I mean, there's this whole group out there, forgot the name, that they pretend to be Trump supporters. It's all FBI agents wearing the khaki slacks and the shirts. It's all FBI. And they're out there. I mean, if they want to recruit somebody, or, I mean, I don't know how deep you go into conspiracy territory, Mr. Homan, but, you know, I think MK Ultra was a real thing. I mean, the documents all exist. Yeah. They can brainwash people. They can set honey traps for people, and they can send people out to carry out a murder. And what if they convince somebody who's been sheep dipped to go murder a transgender person? Just like you said, it's a provocation, and the media runs the story. Oh, transgenders are subjected to genocide. We have to end all gun rights in America. I can see that actually, sadly, happening.
Well, they've already set the stage for it. Exactly. Joe Biden said last week in a message from the White House on, I don't know if it was some kind of International Transgender Day. I don't know what the occasion was.
That was Transgender Visibility Day, I think. As if we don't see enough rainbow flags already.
Right. Right. He literally said that the transgender community is under attack, and that his regime is going to do everything in its capability to protect it from these attacks. Now, this was literally days after a transgender woman attacked a group of Christians at a Christian school. But it wasn't the Christians who was under attack. It was the transgender. So they completely flipped the script,
right,
from what reality was. And all that does is now it has energized this transgender community to become even more radicalized.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just, frankly, it looks like the tranny version of Antifa at this point. It's like they took all the terrorism tactics from Antifa and just turned it over to the trans. And not to say that everybody in the trans community is a violent militant terrorist, but there is this radicalized wing of the trans community that clearly they are willing to pick up guns and just shoot innocent people and carry out mass murder. We already saw that. That's not a theory. That's,
well, you know, I mean, until like about 5 years ago, the National Psychological Association, American Psychological Association, had classified transgenderism, you know, gender dysphoria, as a mental illness.
Right.
You know, this is just a very recent phenomena where they're not only no longer mentally ill, they're special people, you know, who qualify for, you know, they're basically been painted as sainthood. I mean, if you're transgender, you have elevated yourself to sainthood. If you read some of these statements coming out of the White House, as well as the same type of statements coming out of Ottawa, the Canadian government under Justin Trudeau, similar in Western Europe. This is a global tactic to use these people, just like they've used all sorts of other marginalized groups Mike, over the years. This is just the latest one. If they can get a coalition of the marginalized, they feel like they can somehow take down that element, that final last patriotic element of Christian America that is what's left of this country. I feel like it's a smaller and smaller remnant every year, but it's still there. And in their eyes, that is what's standing in the way of them, you know, achieving their goals, which are what? The World Economic Forum's Great Reset, global government, global digital currency, global digital ID system, the whole ball of wax.
I completely agree with your assessment there. And of course, we are also under an active invasion. And this gets us to the other topic I wanted to ask you about. Your book called Stealth Invasion. I've got it up on my screen on barnesandnoble.com. This book has been banned by Amazon. Now, of course, you know, people can buy it at Barnes & Noble. And obviously, the book, the subtitle here, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. Tell us about Amazon banning this book. What was the interaction with Amazon over this? And this isn't even a new book. It's been out for years. Why did they ban it now?
Right. This was the first book-length documentation of the dark side of the federal government's refugee resettlement program, which has been with us since around the early 90s, and it's been growing steadily under the radar ever since under every single president, with the exception of Donald Trump, who paused it. But because the Congress was not able to do anything to rein in this program, it was just paused by executive order. And so on day one, when Biden took office, everything was reversed. And now they're making up for lost time, bringing in more than ever from nations that hate us. Places like Somalia, Sudan, Iraq and Syria, you know, and they come here with no intention of assimilating. By the tens of thousands in some communities being flown in under the cover of darkness, cities like Minneapolis have been completely transformed over the last 30 years. We would not have Ilhan Omar as a member of the U.S. House of Representatives if it were not for the Refugee Resettlement Program. Right. That's how serious this topic is. People think, you know, people never ask or seem curious as to how did that area of Minneapolis, St. Paul, get so many Muslims from Somalia? Did it happen organically? You know, I mean, did a bunch of African Americans just suddenly convert to Islam? No, they were imported here from Somalia by our government in a totally legal program. This book is not really about illegal immigration, although it touches on that. It is about legal immigration and what it is doing to cities and states like Minneapolis, Minnesota, St. Cloud, Minnesota, where you've got the Mall of America. And I document what it's done to these communities. And many of them are like small meatpacking communities. They're not major cities like Minneapolis in most cases. And I document what has happened to these cities and towns. You know, from Idaho to Minnesota to Michigan to Kansas, Dodge City, Kansas, as an example, you know, completely transformed through this program. And it's all documented. It's all documented.
Well, exactly. Documented in your book, again, Stealth Invasion is the book. And, you know, there can be good faith immigration and bad faith immigration, right? So you're talking about legal immigration with an intent to overtake society. Now, you know, I'm married to an immigrant who became American, became assimilated, loves America, loves everything that we do here at Brighteon.com. She's from Taiwan. Her family escaped the communists. They escaped with Chiang Kai-shek back in 49, I believe it was. And the Taiwan people have been fighting against communism ever since. So, and I know immigrants from the Middle East who are Christians, even, for example, immigrants from Iraq who are Christians. They fled the regime in Iraq. They came to America and they fight for America now. And those are the kind of immigrants that we want. But what you're talking about is there are these immigration programs that's kind of shoving it down your throat. We're not going to become American. We're going to conquer America. We're going to turn it over to something completely different. That's what Obama supported, and that's what Biden is supporting. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. I myself am the grandson of immigrants. So, yeah, I have nothing against good, solid immigration. That's what made this country great. People coming here from often persecuted countries for freedom, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. These are the values that you've got to, we've got to have some core values, right? Or we're not a nation. The things that make a nation are you have common values and you have boundaries, you have borders. If you don't have those, you're no longer a nation. You end up with parallel societies, nations within nations. And these little parallel societies are what I explore in this book. It's an investigative journalism book, Stealth Invasion. It's been out, like you said, since 2017 on Amazon. You wanted me to sort of go over what happened. About 3 weeks ago, Mike, I started getting emails, you know, one a day, one every other day at first. And your book's no longer on Amazon. I tried to order a copy. Well, I kind of brushed it off at first. I thought, well, maybe they've just run out of books. You know, the publishers run out of books. It'll, in a matter of days, they'll, you know, ship some more to Amazon and it'll be back on there. But the emails started getting closer together and more numerous. And so finally I got on the phone with my publisher, Post Hill Press, and, I left a message and the president of the company calls me back about 2 hours later and he says, oh, I'm so sorry. I meant to call you over the last week or so. It's been on my mind to call you. The strangest thing has happened. He said, two of our books, and he said, this has never happened in the 10 years that we've been publishing, you know, thousands of books by conservative authors. Two of our titles got flagged by Amazon and one of them is yours. Stealth Invasion. They said it violates their standards, and it's considered by them to be hate speech.
Okay, I want to interject here. You can go on to Amazon. I mean, I'm sure we could do it right now. You can find grooming books for children, like teach parents how to push transgenderism, which involves genital mutilations and chemical castrations. You can find essentially books probably on pedophilia, Satanism, pro-abortion books. So Amazon is happy to sell books that talk about mutilating children, murdering children.
Not only that, Mike, you can go on Amazon.com and get you a copy of Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler.
Exactly.
So, you know, how is that not hate speech? But my finely tuned, documented, really conservative, I didn't go way out there. I could have said more in this book if I just wanted it to be a book about conspiracy theories. But I reined it all in to only the stuff that I could prove with either documents or firsthand interviews with people who live in these inundated communities that we spoke about a second ago. And so the publisher forwarded to me the email that he received from Amazon, and I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
It says this: thank you for your continued patience while we looked into this further. Our content review team reviewed the title Stealth Invasion and determined that it includes content against our content guidelines. The primary purpose of Stealth Invasion is to paint Muslim immigration in the U.S. and Europe as treacherous, violent, and as a weapon used by the Muslim Brotherhood to change the U.S. from the inside. For this reason, the team is upholding their decision. Thank you very much. And for your feedback, you know, thank you. Have a good day, basically.
Wow.
That's all they
because
said.
Because that is what they're doing to Europe, too, by the way. I mean, they're invading the U.K., France, have taken over.
This is what I'm going to share with you, and I haven't shared this with anybody else that I've interviewed on this topic, Mike. I think this is not a blow or an attempt to take a blow against my book, Stealth Invasion. I think it's more targeting me, the author, than the book. And the reason I think that is this. All of Robert Spencer's books about Islam are still on Amazon. I'm looking at one here, House of War, Islam's Jihad Against the World by Dr. G.M. Davis, Ph.D. I've got another one here, Decoding the Antichrist and the End Times by Mark Biltz. And this book portrays the coming Antichrist as a Muslim.
Yeah, I'm bringing this up. I've got it on my screen. On here, Amazon.com, House of War, Islam's Jihad Against the World. There it is.
Here's another one, Mideast Beast by Joel Richardson. It also proposes that the coming Antichrist will be a Muslim. Here's one edited by Andrew G. Bostom, a friend of mine. He is a medical doctor in Massachusetts, Dr. Bostom, Bostom, O-M, not O-N. And the title is The Legacy of Jihad, Islamic Holy War and the Fate of Non-Muslims. And it basically describes in excruciating detail the methods and brutal persecutions down through the ages of Christians by Muslim conquerors. And it says that the same thing will happen in America if we allow the current immigration trends. So here's another one by Ian Hersey Ali, a former Muslim from Somalia, called Infidel. You know, there's one book after another that's negative towards Islam sitting out there on Amazon right now that people can buy. So why did they target Stealth Invasion?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's you.
Because it's me, and I'm not even writing about Islam anymore, Mike. I've been writing about globalism. Now, that is another angle in my book. You know, it takes the view that who is fomenting these, you know, dangerous immigration policies? It's globalists, people who want to erase borders, erase boundaries, erase, as we talked about earlier, common values that that Western countries have.
Yeah.
So there is that aspect, but also, I think it's what I've written. I've written hundreds of articles, probably thousands, since that book came out in 2017 that go way beyond Islam. Islam is just one of the tools that these globalists use to wreck Western countries and make them ripe for, basically, eventually a one world government.
Yeah, on that point, I'm glad you brought it out to a much bigger picture, because we have, of course, massive illegal immigration across the Texas border. My studio is in Texas. I've had guests here in studio that actually operate on the border, and they describe, and actually I have people that send me videos of busloads of illegal immigrants being prepared to cross the border just in El Paso. They just bring them across by the busload. There's nobody stopping these illegal immigrants or illegal aliens, however people refer. But it seems like, Mr. Homan, they're setting up America. The media runs these psychological terrorism campaigns to try to pit black people against white people, transgender against non-trans, you know, Muslims against Christians, everything. Even women, like trans against women now. It's not even okay to be a woman anymore,
right,
in America. And they're setting a stage for anarchy. It's like they want a purge event to happen in America. So they're provoking all this hatred and ideology that is about to be triggered. What do you suppose, I mean, if you agree with that assessment, what do you suppose that trigger might be?
The trigger for, you know, social upheaval and
regional wars, people against people, maybe not nationwide, but locally.
Right. I think it's death by a thousand cuts. You know, they're going to use everything that they can and throw everything against the wall and see what sticks, see what can really be the trigger, because they don't know. You know, they're not all seeing. They're not omniscient. They don't know what will trigger the it's all about destabilization, right? In order to take over a country, you have to destabilize it first. Well, how do you do that? They've got all these different tools and methods. Islam, pumping Islamic people into a Western Christian country is just one of them. You know, then they've got the Marxists, you know, they've got the trans, they've got the race wars that they're trying to stoke. So, you know, we've seen them roll all of these out over the last, what, 5 years. It's really been remarkable. If you go back to 2020 in the Summer of Love, right, where they tried to stoke the whole racial thing. Well, now they've moved on to the trans, you know. Before that, it was the just regular gay issue, you know.
Now,
The immigrants, it's one after another.
so you mentioned destabilization. I think you've nailed it. That's the right word. And then there's demoralization, which also means sapping a nation of its morality. That's another way to look at that term. And, you know, it strikes me, this is what Yuri Bezmenov warned us about, right? Back in the 1980s, I think he did an interview with G. Edward Griffin. He said, yeah, there's a plan. We're going to destabilize your society. We're going to demoralize your society, and we're going to demonetize, and then we're going to conquer it. And it might take 30 or 40 years, but we're going to conquer your society, and you're going to become, you know, a communist regime. And
100% right there, Mike. The
yep.
last thing they want to do is have to take over America by military means. Not only would they have our military, highly sophisticated military to deal with, but possibly even more vaunting would be the American population. As we mentioned earlier, heavily armed, with a mentality of freedom. And, you know, there is a mentality about being American. I talk to people in other countries, and they tell me this, and I've started paying more attention to it, and they're right. You know, Americans have an entitlement mentality, and in this sense of entitlement, it's not necessarily a bad thing, where they believe that their rights are given to them by God, not the government. Okay, most countries don't have that culture or that history, and so they're much more easier to corral. In whatever, you know, direction you want to manipulate them. But Americans, you know, they were bamboozled by COVID, the whole plandemic. I was very disappointed that the American mentality did not sniff that one out quicker, for what it actually was. But by the same token, because we failed, because our American freedom mentality and our freedom culture was not strong enough to withstand that onslaught of propaganda, I think the globalists are emboldened now. And so they kind of cracked the egg, and they're wanting to squeeze the rest of the yolk out of it.
That's no yoke for sure, right
Yeah.
there. I mean, the American people have become largely oblivious. They've become
Yes.
apathetic. They've become historically ignorant. And if you don't know history, you know, you're doomed to repeat it. But look, I want to give out your website again, leohoman.com. That's Hohmann, leohoman.com. And I want to ask you for your final thoughts here in this interview today, but just tell people. I want to say, look, your website is really fantastic. Here's a video about the history of Russia and Ukraine that looks important. Here's a story about Islamic call to prayer, loudspeakers in Minneapolis, and so on.
Which that is one just the latest example, Mike, of what I warned about in the book. Once you allow these parallel societies of non-assimilated immigrants from nations that hate us to you know, grow these communities in our cities, you end up with demands. It starts out with, you know, just asking, and it ends up demanding. They have the call to prayer over loudspeakers 3 times a day, blasted from 12, at least 12 mosques in Minneapolis. But now that's not good enough. They want it blasted 5 times a day. And
Wow.
so this is the slow degradation of the culture where these parallel societies grow up.
Oh, and you can bet if a Christian church wanted to broadcast over loudspeakers a prayer to Jesus, that would never be allowed in the city. Never.
No. Not at all. That it would They wouldn't even allow that request to come on their city council's agenda, I guarantee it.
Yep, exactly. Well, Mr. Holman, this has been a really fascinating and somewhat scary interview. I mean, they're clearly trying to silence you. I think it's backfiring. You've had a lot of publicity because of your book being banned. And again, it wasn't even a recent book. So hopefully more people will read your website, consider what you have to offer. And any final thoughts before we wrap this up today?
I just thank you for having me on. I've always been an admirer of your podcasts and your website, your excellent website, Mike. You know, just keep up the great work. And yeah, people can check me out at leohoman.com. I've also got a Substack, leohoman.substack.com. They can also find me on Telegram. So I post throughout the day there as well.
Oh, that's great. Is your Telegram channel just Leo Homan?
If you search Leo Homan author slash journalist, I believe it will pop up.
Okay, that's great. I didn't know about your Telegram channel. That's good to know. You are welcome on Brighteon.com, free speech platform. If you ever want to post your own, even audio only updates, just podcasts, feel free to launch a channel on Brighteon, tell our team about it, and we'll help share the word. And I want to thank you for taking time today. I'm glad that they can't bring you down. If anything, again, it's backfiring, and then they're bringing you more
attention. I've been energized by this, Mike, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah, exactly. America is worth defending. American culture, the founding principles are worth fighting for. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
All right, and thank you for watching, folks. Again, Brighteon.com interview, but you can post it on other platforms as well. Feel free to do so. And if you don't mind, just give credit to Leo Homan and check out his website, leohoman.com. I'm Mike Adams. God bless America. Thank you for watching. Take care.